when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening, people. It is March the 2nd of the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, the year of 2019. And, you know, people, there is a God in heaven. You would not believe how much scrambling around we had to do to get this show going tonight. There's been massive sickness in Memphis. I've been sick, you may well know, for 2 weeks. My wife's been sick. Lee's out sick tonight. Matt can't come on. He's had trouble there. We couldn't get in touch with Jacob. I think Jacob's been sick. We're bringing a brand new co-host. If you've heard him one time, we're going to bring a guy in tonight by the name of Patrick. I'm so excited about having Patrick on. But I'm going to make a few more announcements before we bring in our guest. We have a groundbreaking guest. I'll bet you a dollar to a donut he's never been on another radio station. Very few people would have him on. I can guarantee double damn to you. But people, before we go any further, if you will, bow your heads and kind of stay. I'm going to try to do the best I can and pray in the night. It's just been one hell of a hectic day. Okay, people, bow your heads. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for helping us get this radio show going tonight against all odds. Help us, Lord, do your service. Do service to you, Lord. Make Blood River, Liberty News, make everything we do for your glory, O God. And let us never forget that nothing can happen in this world without you allowing it to happen. Nothing happens without your consent. And Lord, I do beseech you, Lord, like I say, maybe kicking dead horse, Lord, but please stay with us. Let us do your service, O Lord. If we're not doing your service anytime, just take me out of this world. It's your anytime you get ready. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, once I'm making a quick announcement, like I said, we're having a brand new host coming on tonight. I'm gonna introduce him in just a second. But while we're talking about co-hosts, I would like to brag on my co-hosts some. You would not believe the hell they go through to come on this show. They do it totally free. They self-sacrifice. Every single one of them work full-time jobs. Patrick is himself tonight pulled an all-nighter. He came in out of an all-nighter to come on to help me tonight. And He's gonna ride shotgun with me for the whole 2 hours tonight if he can hold up to it. But I've been kind of sick. If I have to do a lot of hacking, please overlook that. And people, I'm gonna tell you something else right now. Back eons ago, I used to say if I only had my own radio show, I had a bucket list. I said I was gonna get the guys from the Klan on. Well, we've had the guys from the Klan on several times. I said I want to do a full series on the Holocaust, what I call the Holo Hoax. It's the biggest lie. There's never been a bigger lie than the Holocaust in the whole world. We've touched on that some. We're going to do a big series. I'm hoping Patrick can be a part of it. We said we're going to do a series on the Waffen-SS. We're going to give them their just dues. You might accuse them or hold them fault or whatever their politics was, but I can tell you, as being an old soldier myself, an old draftee, your soldier does his duty as the best he can. No one did a better job than the Waffen-SS. To quote G. Gordon Liddy, the young folks might not know him. No one killed like the Waffen-SS, and there was never any greater soldiers than that. Another guy I had on our list, a bucket list, we wanted to bring a man in from the American Nazi Party. And that's pretty much untouchable. People will not touch that with a 10-foot pole. Well, I'm going to tell you flat out, there ain't nothing that's untouchable with Blood River Radio. And I praise God we have a guy like Sam Bushman that will let me bring on anybody I want to. And I'll say, I know it may be facetious, but if Satan himself is out there, if you want to come on Blood River Radio and plead your case, although you're going to lose, you're welcome to come on. So I guarantee double tell me. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you want to throw crap on the Klan and the Nazis or what have you. Just think about the same news people, the same fake news that's lied about us, yay, all these years. They lie about Sam, they lie about me, they lie about every damn thing. So that tells me right now, if the mainstream media is always news are always dumping crap on this Nazi party, they must not be too damn bad. Now, with that, I'm going to shut my mouth, and I'm going to welcome my co-host, our newest co-host, Patrick, on tonight. How are you doing, Patrick?
Ed, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I wouldn't have it any other way. How are you feeling tonight? We've all been sick around here.
Good. I'm hanging in there. Ready to go.
Are you ready tonight? That's great. Are you ready to? We're going to bring our guest up at the after the first break. His name is Dan Snyder. Matter of fact, Matthew Goodwin is the one that booked him. So Matt knows more about him than I do. I've been sick all week, like I've told people. He booked him and brought him in here, but it's always been one of my bucket lists. I always want to have the guy for the Nazi party on.
Yeah.
So we're going to have him on. The second hour, we're going to have a real hell-raising stormtrooper, Ike Baker. He's the operations manager for League of the South. And I'm going to tell you what, buddy, that dude is the real deal. But without further ado, anything you'd like to say to the audience, Pat? Would you like to give them a brief bio?
Ooh, I think I did last time, actually. I'm an identitarian. I'm a Christian. And I think I consider myself an activist for our race. And try to stay on top of everything that's going on and get involved with some real-life activities when I can. And, I think that sums it up for me.
Patrick, I think you may be moving your phone around a little bit. We're getting a lot of some extraneous noises. I'm not trying to get onto you, son, but if you can't I do it all the time, too. Sam corrects me constantly about moving my microphone around. But anyway, you know, I had kind of halfway forgotten. It's been so hectic. It's been sick. We've had sickness everywhere. I knew we had you on for a short stint, but I didn't think we gave you a just due as a proper introduction. I met Patrick, I guess it'd be 2 years ago, this coming June? Well, maybe it was a year ago in June. Well, I met him up at the Montgomery Bell State Park. He was at the, Council of Conservative Citizens. Or no, it was the American Renaissance Conference, wouldn't it, Pat?
Yes.
Well, anyway, with that, before we got a few minutes before we bring the host on, what I'd like to say, I've been, if we have time tonight, I would like to just give a few quotes from some of our Jewish buddies. But I'd like to say one more thing, too. People probably heard me say something similar to this. We're in a struggle, people. And it's a global white Christian genocide that's in action right now. That's on our website. If you go to Blood River Radio's website, that's pretty much our thesis. Our thesis is that there is progress right now, global white genocide. And, you know, and like we say on our website, I'm almost sure it's there. I hadn't read it in a while. But it's nothing new. It's been around. You know, it's been around since Pontius Pilate? No, it wasn't Pontius Pilate. The half Jewish, half Arab king. He was appointed king of the Jews by the Romans. He was, and he sent out a decree. He wanted all the 2 years old and below executed because he was afraid he wanted to get rid of a leader. Well, anyway, people, I've just about run out of steam. We're going to a break now, and we're going to bring up Dan Snyder in just a minute. We're going to let him tell you what he thinks. We don't want to hear what Rabbi Waxman has to think about the Nazis. We want to hear what Dan Snyder has to say. So hang on, folks. We'll be right back in just a minute or two.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosherified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, people, we're right back. And we have a guest coming on to get ready to make my day. And all you people that have been trained out there, a.k.a. with Pavlov's dog, you ready to start foaming at the mouth because we are going to yank some serious chain tonight. Dan Snyder, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm kind of freezing my butt off here in New Hampshire.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've been all sick around here. It's been really, really damp and wet. I've never seen a wetter spring in my whole life. I've been in Memphis all my life, Memphis and Shelby County. I've never seen so much rain, but I hope you get warmed up. I tell you what, we're going to warm things up, rhetorically speaking, Dan. You know, Dan, tell the people, give the people a quick bio, fellas, so we can start the Pavlov's dogs foaming at the mouth.
Well, what do you mean, you know, my life story and all that sort of thing?
No, I'll tell you. Well, you can cut it short. Just tell us what. Okay, I'll tell you what. Dan Snyder, he's a are you a chairman? What kind of officer are you, Dan?
I'm the deputy chairman of the American Nazi Party.
Okay, so Dan Snyder is the deputy chairman of the American Nazi Party. And if I'm not mistaken, my co-host Matt said it's a branch of the Lincoln Rockwell branch. Is that right?
Well, it's sort of a continuation. See, after Commander Rockwell was assassinated, he was succeeded by Matt Cale, who was very loyal to the cause, very good administrator, but with zero charisma. And the party just kind of floundered and finally dissolved around 1980. And about 1994, a former stormtrooper named Rocky Cejeda, he got together with some other former stormtroopers, and they contacted Mr. Cale and asked him if he would have any objections if they revived the party. And Mr. Cale said he did not have any objections as long as he was left out of it. And they revived the party, and it's been going, you know, for the last 15 years.
That's
25
great.
Years, excuse me. 25. I can't do basic math. What can I say?
Well, I'll tell you what, my memory is about a quarter of an inch long. So you are the – give us your position one more time in the American Nazi Party.
Well, I'm the deputy chairman. I mean, I'm the second in command.
Okay, second in command. Who might be first in command? If you're at liberty.
His name is Axel Hess.
Okay, Axel Hess. Okay, good German. A good German name. You know, he
just recently succeeded Chairman Cejeda when he retired due to age and ill health.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm glad he lived to be an old age, but I'm sorry he's in bad health. You know, Patrick, as a kind of an aside, we've had been kind of running debate with our guy who to syndicate our show and one of my co-hosts, one of our young guns that, you know, socialism, no socialism, this is socialism, that's a socialism. You know, and I've come to the conclusion you have to ask, it's kind of like asking someone if they're a Christian. If they say they're a Christian, you got to, that really doesn't a lot to me nowadays, because I've talked to some people that claim to be Christians that they're just diametrically opposed to me. They have these weird beliefs, you know, because, like, for instance, we have to worship Israel and worship Jews. I have to have a Jew in one hand and a black in the other hand before we can get into heaven, you know. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is, I guess, even if the American Nazi Party was, even if it's a National Socialist, I would say if it was a socialist organization, I dare anyone to tell me that we're not living in a socialist nation right now here in the United States. We're damn near close to communism.
I agree with that.
Would you agree that? And I'm glad you would, you know. So tell us about how much do you know? I was talking to my co-host earlier today. I said, I wished I knew the actual nuts and bolts of how the Nazi Party worked in the 1930s, owned, you know, to it was 1945, because I really don't know as much about the nuts and bolts of the way our country works here, the way we're supposed to work. I do know that the Constitution is, I won't say it's failed us. I'll say the people that have sworn allegiance to the Constitution has failed us. And
exactly.
There's so many things that have been put in the Constitution that's not to the benefit of a white person, of a white working class Christian nowadays. So without me getting too long-winded, Patrick, by the way, Patrick, I would like to thank you so much. I forgot this. You know, my memory's crappy. Thank you so much for having the courage to come on to this show. I'm so glad that you do have the courage to come on. A lot of people would not do that. We've had some great people here, man. We've had some people that would, if we had you on right now, some people that would run for the high grass. But with that said, could you tell us, if you know, you might not know either, just say, go back to the Nazi Party when Adolf Hitler was sworn in, what, 1933, 1932, exactly how, let's compare, like General Patton said, the Nazi Party was not too much different from the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. What do you know? I mean, did they have a Congress? Did they have a Parliament? How the hell did that work? Educate us some if you can, Pat. I keep calling you Patrick. Dan, I'm sorry, Dan. Educate us to that fact.
Well, first of all, you know, we like to call ourselves National Socialism for the 21st century, meaning we've had to make certain adaptations because, let's face it, 1930s. You know, Germany was a different time, different place, different people. You know, what worked there and then will not work here and now. You know, for example, the Germans back then were used to the concept of being ruled by one man. You know, before that it was the Kaiser. And so, you know, it was not a foreign concept to them. You know, have just one man in charge. To the Americans, that is a foreign concept, and to most, that is unacceptable. You know, so we would indeed keep a kind of a Congress, in place. We don't see the need for two houses, though. You know, one will suffice. You know, just like the Germans have they have just one house. You know, the Reichstag, or I think today they call it the Bundestag.
Okay.
So we do still believe in free elections. People have a right to choose their own. Their own leaders, but we need to have some, you know, decent party and decent leaders who will live up to their responsibilities and their oaths of office that they take when they're sworn in.
And this may be an aside. I'd just like to chime in. It matters not to me, Patrick, whether I'm ruled by one man or 1,000 men. You know, just say, for instance, a 1 million man mob, say in a mobocracy, a democracy. What the hell is the difference between, in my opinion, and I may be quoting someone else in the past, But I see no difference in being ruled by, you know, we're always told about what a wonderful democracy the United States is. Well, you know, I don't care to be ruled by a majority of people that hate my guts, of people from different countries, different religions, different color, different race. I just seem to be, I mean, what the hell is the difference? But anyway, I know that's kind of an aside. You're talking about, well, what would be the, in your opinion, I hope I don't sound too much like an amateur newsman, in your opinion, let's go back to the statement you made a minute ago. Okay, in an ideal world, how would you have the Nazi Party working here in these United States right now, Patrick? That's probably a rhetorical question, but go away. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I keep calling you Patrick. Excuse me.
Well, how I like to see it is, get rid of the Congress, you know, and keep the Senate. You know, because the Congress, the more the population of this country grows, the more congressmen we have, and the more congressmen we have, the more confusion there's going to be, and the more disagreements there are going to be, you know, trying to listen to 1,000 viewpoints and trying to satisfy everyone. You know, it can't be done. Now, it seems to make more sense to have, like, say, 2 representatives from every state, you know, and that seems to make a lot more, you know, a lot more sense to me. And what I like to see is also, the position of president. I like
Hey, Dan, we're going to commercial, my friend. Hold on to that thought. I don't know if you can hear the music or not, but we've got to go to commercial, take a commercial break. We'll be right back. Hold that thought, Dan. All right. Do not forget what you're talking about. People will be right back in just a minute. We're interviewing Dan Schneider. He's the executive director of the American Nazi Party.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
In today's speech to a conservative action group, President Donald Trump spoke about his recent summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un, saying it didn't go that badly.
We made a lot of progress, and we'll continue to make progress, and I really think what we're doing there is very important. But we actually had a walk, but I think we had a very good meeting. In fact, when I came home, they put out a statement that actually they were willing to do much less on the sanction front.
Trump spoke at CPAC for more than 2 hours. Independent Senator from Vermont and 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders held his first rally at Brooklyn College, where he touched on climate change.
Climate change is not a hoax, but it is an existential threat to our country and the entire planet.
Sanders pledged to fight for economic, social, racial, and environmental justice. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
President Donald Trump says he's been in a difficult position in the Otto Warmbier death. He says while having to negotiate with North Korea, he also loves Warmbier and his family. Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney is still critical of the president for not blaming the North Korean leader for Warmbier's ultimate death.
If I were president, I would be informed about what was happening. And it's hard for me to believe that he did not know. But in any event, the negotiations are going forward. I believe in negotiations, and I hope we can resolve and have a nuclear-free peninsula.
Trump says, of course, he believes North Korea is responsible for Warmbier's mistreatment and ultimate death. A newly released video shows an altercation between San Francisco Giants CEO Larry Beer and his wife that ends with her on the ground screaming for help. The video, published by TMZ, was recorded by a bystander in a public park on Friday. Major League Baseball issued a statement saying it was looking into the incident. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Hi there, Dan.
Yes.
Hi, this is Patrick. We're waiting for Eddie to come back on. He got disconnected.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Great. You know, I was actually curious. One quick question before Eddie gets back. Have you been able to do any in real life activity lately? Did you have a contingent down at Charlottesville?
No, we do not, because we don't believe in that sort of, we don't believe that demonstrations really serve a purpose, especially nowadays. I mean, with what good does it do to have, 20 or 30 of us show up and have, 1,000 Antifa show up?
That's right. Yeah, so very true. I was wondering if you, so how do you reach out to people? Did you go out and speak? How do you recruit people?
Well, we do it through the internet and through personal outreach.
Okay.
You know, talking to people and handing out regular type literature, you know, a hard copy, you know, hard copy. But you know what happened at the Charlottesville, I believe that, of course, I don't believe for a minute that the Antifa intended for Heather Heyer to be killed, but they wanted the right wingers, you know, to react in a violent way so they won't get arrested.
Do you think that was just a setup? I feel like
I don't think it was a setup exactly, but they egged them on hoping that they would pull something stupid.
But it seems there was some connection to the government there. They were telling the police to stand down. It seems like they wanted some sort of conflict.
Right, exactly. It just went too far. It just went too far, farther than they intended it. I'm sure they didn't intend that poor girl to get killed. It just got out of hand, but they did intend for something to happen because they wanted the alt-right to be arrested.
Yeah, I agree. So you do stay away then. It's tough. Do you see a point in the future where in real life activity will be worthwhile, where it will be worth the risk?
Well, it's possible because I got to tell you, we've gotten more applications in the last, 3 months, for members than we've had in the last 2 or 3 years before that. They're just coming in, and I'm going, wow.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, dissatisfaction in the, the two mainstream parties and dissatisfaction with other, NS and, WN, that means, white nationalist parties and organizations. For example, have you heard that now that the new leader of the of our rival party, the National Socialist Movement, is black?
No.
Yeah, he just took over recently. We're not sure exactly how he managed to do it, but there was some kind of, something's wrong, let's put it that way. Something's not right. We don't know. But how else would a black man get control of a Nazi party?
Yeah, that's something doesn't add up.
And we believe that his reason for doing that is he wants to try to shut down the party.
Okay.
Because they're facing certain lawsuits, and he wants to plead guilty to them. If they do, it's going to cost them every penny they've got.
Yeah. So they're trying to shut it down, essentially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm back, just in case. Y'all go keep going and just wave me in. We had some audio difficulty here that we hadn't had in months. I don't know what went wrong, but you guys, I don't know where you are. Just continue
No, that's okay. Okay, I asked him about Charlottesville and if he had any people there, but that was all we covered.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I was going to, matter of fact, it came kind of at an opportune time, Patrick, because I was going to ask you, I was going to wave you in and see if you had any questions. Do you have any other questions before I make a comment?
You know, I was just really asking him about recruiting and seeing if they had done any in real life activity. He did answer that. He was saying he didn't think that it was worth it right now, but possibly in the future. So, yeah, back to you, Ed.
Well, no, you did a great. Thank God I got you on today. You know, that's live radio, man. When you're flying by the seat of your pants and on a shoestring like Blood River is, you have to be ready to roll. Were it not for Sam, I would everybody be freaking out. But Sam always has the answer to everything. I've never known him not to. Well, I was going to say, make a comment before we went to the break. Coming back, I've got a note. If I can find my little notelet down here, and I will find it. I would like to go back to compliment our host again. I mean, excuse our guest for coming on, because we invited more than once. We invited this congressman David Kustoff on, the good Jewish congressman that came on a couple of weeks ago, and is trying to get. I guess he's aiming to get some hate laws against us for to make it a crime to say anything that's anti-Semitic, whatever the hell that means. And but we've asked him to come on the show a couple of times, and I'd like to reiterate, not only is he just any congressman, he is our co-host Lee Cochran's representative, and he will not even come on for his own constituent here in Memphis, Tennessee. What a coward, you know. And you know, I'll make one more comment. I'm going to go back to our guest. The same thing happened in the Soviet Union, under Stalin. When Stalin first came in, one of the first laws they made, that, to the best of my knowledge, is they made it. It was a death penalty to do anything, say anything anti-Semitic. And I would just submit to you people that an anti-Semite is someone that the Jews don't like. Dan, I'm going right back to you. And Patrick, you jump in anytime you want to, son.
Well, I'd just like to point out that just what you said about the Soviet Union. A lot of people are not aware that almost every one of the people who were responsible for the Russian Revolution were Jewish. You know,
yes,
Leon Trotsky's real name is Bronstein.
That's right.
You know, and Lenin himself was not Jewish, but he was married to a Jewish woman.
That's what I've. That's your information jives with mine, and most certainly, you know, you're absolutely right. And I'll see if my information jives with yours, Dan. In the beginning, after the First World War, when the First World War was still going pretty hot and heavy, a guy named Jacob Schiff with a Cuban and Loeb investment company, one of the largest investment companies, bankers, et cetera, in the world, sent Lev Bronstein, Trotsky, and company over to went from Brooklyn to Canada. The Canadians stopped him for a while on the Canadian ship, but the Canadians were encouraged to let Trotsky go. So he went on to Germany with millions of dollars in gold. He went to the Russian front, took the gold, and they waved in all their other communist buddies that had been exiled. And that's how they used that gold from this Jewish Cuban Loeb investment company to start the revolution. You correct me anytime I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong. Okay, and the Germans were all for the Russians getting out of the war, because they weren't, the Jews right there in Russia, they weren't concerned with the war at that time. And I'm going to shut up now. And Patrick, do you have any questions now, son?
No, I'm ready to go forward. I think I really think that we're getting to this point where it's the Bolshevik Revolution 2.0, especially with that recent bill that was passed. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Dan, if you heard about the recent bill that was passed regarding the boycott, divest, and sanctions movement, trying to criminalize any stand against that.
I'm not sure. There's a lot of bills passed. Can you give me more detail about boycott against who?
Well, they're trying to make it a crime to boycott Israel, essentially.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, I think we have a right to boycott anybody we want to.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Patrick, does that build?
I've often said that if a country, you know, I am referring to Israel, and not just Israel, but other countries as well, but Israel is included in this. If a country cannot stand on its own two feet and exist independently, it doesn't have a right to exist at all.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, if it weren't for the United States, Israel would have fallen a long time ago. If it wasn't for our support, you know, giving them money, giving them weapons and such technology, they would have collapsed God knows how long ago. I don't think they would have lasted 10 years.
No.
Well, people, here we are coming up on another break. We'll go to a short break, and we'll be right back and continue on with this excellent conversation. People, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be right back after the break.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal, but I'm gonna be a diamond someday. I'm gonna
we're back with the old chunk of coal's back with y'all, and we're getting ready to go back to our guest. But I'm gonna make a quick comment. I'm afraid I've steered our guest too far away from the nuts and bolts of what the Nazi Party is. I'd like to read paraphrase a quote by Dr. Kevin MacDonald here. And Dr. Kevin MacDonald is by no means a radical compared to us here at Blood River. Here's what he said. He said pretty much this. He said, Nazism going back to the 30s now, when we had the Nazis, you know, Nazi Party in Germany. Nazism was a belief system where the individual feels he belongs to a group, a common group of people of the same race, the same religion, the same ideology, the same goals and aspirations in life, and with a clear defining differential existing between them and other groups. And pretty much they shared a total disconnect with the Jews and the communists in that country that were trying to take over Germany at the time. There was a big clash between the Nazis and the communists. And I'd further like to say, make this comment before I go back to my co-host. It's my belief, and I think along with the other people's, what we saw in the Second World War between Nazi Germany and the communist, Soviet Union, we saw a fight between a nationalist, predominantly Christian nation against a predominantly a Jewish-driven, Jewish-controlled satanic system of communism. That's what we saw. We saw a gargantuan battle between a white, Anglo-Saxon, European, Aryan race against a Jewish-driven Soviet Union. And our government, as they always do, sided with the communist, FDR and Eisenhower and those other communists as well. People, guys, am I wrong there, Patrick? And when you get through, Patrick, go back to our guest, fella.
No, I completely agree. I think that the parallels are striking. And I think that, that is the thing to wake people up on, is that we fought for the wrong side. And sort of this empty patriotism that we hear now, where people are not even aware of the true history. But I think when you're able to sort of put those side by side and look at them, you can see that we're in the exact same situation now. But Dan, I don't know what you think about that. It seems very similar to Weimar Germany.
Absolutely. It's very similar. Absolutely. And, it's one of your... You also mentioned people don't know the true history, and one of the commercials I heard was for some kind of a gold service, and I was kind of laughing at that, because a lot of people are talking about our economy and saying, we've got to get back on the gold standard. That is the worst thing that we could possibly do to ourselves. Worst thing. A lot of people are just totally unaware of the history. Now, our country has a fractional reserve banking economy, whereas banks are allowed to lend out 10 times more money than they actually own.
Actually more than that now, Dan.
I don't know. I wouldn't know for sure about that, but it does mean fractional reserve means they can loan out a lot more than they can, than they actually own. Now, a lot of people are not aware, this got started back in the Middle Ages, when goldsmiths were, for a small fee, they would keep your gold in their vaults. Like the super wealthy back then, they had their own vaults. But the middle class, like merchants and stuff, they didn't have their own vaults. So they kept it with the goldsmiths. And the goldsmiths discovered that not too many people came and wanted all their gold out at the same time. So they started making loans with other people's gold. And as long as they didn't get caught, no problem. Now, that was the beginning of, fractional reserve banking, and it just got, worse and worse after that. And keeping on the gold standard, that's terrible, because there's not that much gold in the world when you get right down to it, and he who controls the gold controls, has the power, because and it's easy to control because there's not a lot of it. There's not a lot of it at all. In the 1400s, King Henry I, had an excellent system. He came up with an excellent system, and a lot of people are not even aware this system ever existed, and it was still used in limited fashion up until the 1800s. He decided that he wanted to help take control of the finances from the money changers, the goldsmiths and So he decreed that taxes could only be paid with a new system he was starting out called tally sticks. They were these long sticks with certain markings on them, and they were split down the middle, and the government held one half, and the other half were put into circulation. People actually started using them as real money, and the money changers did not like that at all, because it was taking power away from them. Finally, King Henry VIII, you know, in the late 1500s, kind of tightened up on, laws, the money, the tally sticks to be used so much anymore, and gave much more control back to the money changers. But there were still tally sticks being in circulation right up until the 1800s. And a lot of people are not even aware the system ever existed, including the British. And it was their system. Now, we used a similar system in colonial America called colonial script. We, times were tough, and we printed up our own money called colonial script. And it was very successful, and the colonies became very, very prosperous. The Bank of England didn't like it because colonial script was out of their control. So they threatened King George, told them, you know, we'll call on your loans unless you outlaw colonial script, which he did. And when that happened, the colonies immediately went into hyperinflation, and that's pretty much kind of, in a way, which sparked off the American Revolution. You know, if he had left the colonial script alone, it might not have sparked the revolution. They were the ones, the Bank of England was pushing for the high taxes. You know, they were pressuring King George, do it, or we're going to call in your loans. And that's pretty much the real cause of the American Revolution. Now, jumping up to the Civil War, President Lincoln was having a lot of trouble paying his soldiers and funding the army for the Civil War. So he printed up his own money, treasury notes, the backs of them were green, hence the term greenbacks.
Greenbacks.
And those were in circulation right up until the 20th century, the 1920s, I believe.
But Dan, I got to ask you a quick question.
What?
We've only got about probably five more minutes. Now, you've brought some really interesting topic here. You know, one of the first things Hitler did, and you correct me again if I'm wrong, I'd like to get this in. I didn't want to interrupt you. One of the first things Hitler did when he came into power in Germany, he kicked out all the international Jewish bankers.
Absolutely.
He kicked them out. He did away with the gold and silver standard, and he went to in fact, I was talking to Matt and maybe Pat about. I don't know exactly the nuts and bolts of how his currency worked, but it was based on an hour's wage, a man. I'm getting close, I hope, on the amount of work a man would do in an hour, what was produced. It was based on real something of real value, like say, for instance, right. a Model 98 Mauser, a camshaft to a Volkswagen. It was based on really real goods, and their currency, correct me if I'm wrong, their currency became the strongest currency in the world while the rest of the world was suffering under depression. But I don't know. Do you know how that worked? I'm not sure how the nuts and bolts were.
It worked basically the same way as tally sticks, colonial script, and greenbacks. It was a completely, as the bankers would call it, a fiat currency. I don't know where that name fiat comes from. It doesn't have nothing to do with the car.
Thanks, Spike.
What Hitler did was, well, not Hitler. He had, they had their own central bank, but it was owned by the government, the Reichsbank. And the head of the Reichsbank was a really, smart guy, economic-wise, and he got things done. Anyway, they would basically calculate how many workers they had, typical work output per hour, and the typical needs of the people. And that's how much currency they would circulate. And it kept inflation at an absolute minimum, because there's always going to be some inflation. It can't be avoided. It just can't be avoided. But this hyperinflation is definitely engineered by the international bankers. There's no question about that. Because it makes them money. In hard times, whether we're talking about a depression or an inflation, wealth is never destroyed. It's only transferred. When it's transferred,
correct,
of course, to the chosen few. Taken out of the hands of the people.
Correct.
And, money, the purpose of money is to enhance the lives of the people, not make a few select people, wealthy beyond, you know, beyond belief.
So, you know, I believe the system you just described was close to a system of money that they had in the pre-revolutionary days. You know what, Daniel? We've come to the end of the hour. I'd love to get you back on again soon. And thank you. Listen, Daniel, thank you so much for having the courage, having the courage to come on to Blood River Radio. Well, we consider you an asset, fella. We wanted to hear what you had to say rather than what Rabbi Waxman had to say about what you thought. Well, people, with that, we're getting ready to go to the break, and we're getting ready to go to the second hour, and we're going to keep Patrick, and we're going to bring on Ike Baker from the League of the South. So hold on to your hat. We'll have a pretty nice little break here.